We're about to find out the cold reality about the hot, dry weather.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, good morning, I'm Jeremy Hobson. In a few hours, the Agriculture Department is going to give us new estimates for this fall's harvest, and the expectation is it's not going to be pretty. Corn prices hit a new record high yesterday because of fears that the drought could shrink supply by 15%. Corn is America's biggest crop, though some experts are questioning whether that should still be the case. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong reports.
Corn is not the toughest crop for droughts. Its roots are shallow. Yet it occupies one quarter of America's cropland. The U.S. is the world's largest producer by far. Thing is, most of it goes to ethanol or to feed animals.
Very little of it ends up as corn on a dinner plate. Most of it is turned into cows or cars.
John Foley directs the Institute on the Environment at the University of Minnesota. He estimates corn gets at least $5 billion in subsidies, creating distortions. More and more corn grown, less of everything else.
So this year, when there's a big drought, we have a very vulnerable system. We have this one crop covering most of the country. Imagine a mutual fund with only one company in it.
Many think the drought will restart a conversation to change that. It won't happen overnight. Corn interests argue their product provides food and energy security. But already, some ethanol subsidies have expired. And direct payments to farmers could end, too, when a tight-fisted Congress gets around to a farm bill. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
More bad news for the U.S. Postal Service. It lost another $5.2 billion last quarter. There's a debate over whether and to what extent Congress should step in to help. David Hendel, an expert on the USPS at the law firm Hush Blackwell, says the service needs major restructuring, but he doesn't think it's going anywhere.
The Postal Service is going to be a vital part of the economy. It's already part of a trillion-dollar industry involving about 8 million people who are involved in it, if you consider people who are sending mail as well and depend on mail for their livelihood. It's not going anywhere. It's going to be here.
In fact, revenue for shipping services and package delivery was actually up 9% last quarter, thanks in part to sites like eBay. And let's do the numbers. Stocks are lower in global trading this morning, down 0.5% right now in Frankfurt, 0.8% lower in Paris. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 10 points to close at 13,165.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
If you think about the things we're not going to be using in the years ahead, small change like pennies might be one of them. So might DVDs. But if you look at the success of the company Coinstar, which owns the DVD rental kiosk company Redbox, you might come to a different conclusion. Both businesses use machines to sell their products rather than human employees. The CEO of Coinstar, Paul Davis, joins me now from Los Angeles. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy. How are you?
Doing well. So you had 22% revenue growth in the latest quarter, 26% of that from Redbox. So how is something like Redbox able to do so well when Blockbuster is out of business?
Well, I think in many ways Redbox has filled sort of an unmet consumer need. We have, 37,000, 38,000 kiosks across the U.S., so we're within a five-minute drive of over 70% of the U.S. population.
But isn't, like, streaming on Netflix or going on Hulu or something like that easier even than taking a five-minute drive to a Redbox kiosk?
Well, in many ways, the convenience of having our locations where consumers go every day continues to win. We're not sticking our head in the sand. We believe that actually getting into the same space as Netflix makes a lot of sense. That's the reason we announced a joint venture earlier this year with Verizon, and we think we're well positioned to have the best of both digital as well as physical product in a winning solution.
Where do you see yourself expanding to going forward in the next couple of years?
Well, we're really excited about the seeds that we've been working on. We recently announced a partnership with Seattle's Best. It's in coffee.
Right.
And we have plans for thousands of those machines in, think about supermarkets, drugstores, mass merch, club accounts. We also have a concept that we're calling Orango, which is focused on refurbished used electronics at a great value.
So how many human employees do you have?
We're just around 3,000.
So that doesn't seem very high considering that you've got 60,000 locations for CoinStar, right?
Yeah, the business model that we've developed over the last 20 years is highly efficient and effective. So it doesn't take a lot of people to keep the equipment up and running. They're all remotely connected, so we have access to those. And with our Redbox business, as an example, we can take care of virtually 80% of the service needs remotely. So it's a very, very effective business model.
It may well be, but it's also kind of depressing for the future of the U.S. labor market. Is the future of U.S. business just machines rather than people?
Well, I don't think it's going to go that path. We believe that really what automated retail is a terrific intersection of both the brick-and-mortar stores as well as e-commerce. Consumers are very comfortable with technology. They like to control their own destiny because they don't have a lot of time on their hands.
We recently had one of our marketplace correspondents travel from coast to coast without ever interacting with a single human being. He just checked into hotels using the kiosks, went to the supermarkets where you could buy the food on the machines. I mean, is that where we're headed?
I don't think we'll ever get to that point. I think consumers will always want to have, you know, interaction with human beings. So we try to provide convenient solutions for consumers that are sort of where they go every day at a great value and serving consumers' unmet needs. So we think all of the, you know, all these channels can coexist in a very healthy way.
But you'll still side with the human beings if we ever get into a war with the computers.
Probably will.
Okay. Well, Paul Davis, CEO of CoinStar, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks, Jeremy.
And finally, if you think Apple's automated voice recognizing attendant Siri can be a bit bossy, you might like Winston, a new conversational assistant that's just been released as a mobile app.
Good morning. The weather forecast in Manhattan is partly cloudy with a high of 89 degrees. On Facebook, Bert and Cookie Monster are celebrating birthdays today. Many happy returns. You will be attending.
So far, Winston doesn't have anywhere near the functionality of Siri, but he does have her beat on, I don't know, charm. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.